Hi, and happy Coming Out Day. Today's October 11th. It's National Coming Out Day. It's been celebrated since 1988, the year after the 1987 March on Washington, in which our gay community fought for marriage rights, equality in the workplace. And you know, those things happened much later, but that was kind of the start of all of it. Our community was closeted for a really long time, and people were thrown into jail. They were beat up. There were so many horrible things that happened to us in the early days. This was a big celebration of Stonewall this past year. People fought to be who they are. And it's really important that this day is celebrated and that it gives us permission to be who we are in our sexual orientation. Now, I recognize that's not all we are, but it's a big piece of who we are. And so it has a special place in my heart. And I just wanted to give you a little background to the day and how important it is. It is always on October 11th. And this year it happens to be Friday. This podcast is about lesbian love. And I really believe that in order to truly love, you have to be able to love yourself, and that means loving all of you. So coming out is critical in the process of accepting everything about yourself. Today, I want to share with you my coming out story because it has a special place for me to celebrate. I think that I knew I was gay around 10 years old or so. I just felt this special kinship with my girlfriends. I hung out, had adventures with them. We were always together. I just felt good around them. In high school and college, I played sports, field hockey, fast pitch, basketball. And a lot of the women who played sports also were probably gay, but I wasn't sure. I never told anyone I was gay. I never asked anyone if they were gay. And I never came on to anybody. I kept this secret for a really long time because part of me felt like there was something wrong with me, and part of me was afraid that people wouldn't accept me or they would shame me. So it was something I kept secret. And I also think that our programming tells us that there's something wrong because you don't see a whole lot of people around you loving the same sex, and if they are living the same sex, it's probably behind closed doors. So I got the message that being different like this was wrong and something to be ashamed of. So clearly I kept this inside. It was a painful, deep secret that I kept inside for a really long time. After college, I was playing summer fast pitch softball, and it was pretty serious softball. We would go to tournaments. And after the tournaments, you know, we'd party and drink with the other teams and stuff. And it was at this point that I saw some teams where there were some, I would say they were lesbians. They would be hugging each other and stuff. It wasn't really demonstrative stuff, but were big displays of public affection. But you could tell. And some of them looked the role of what, you know, traditionally we call the dyke. But some of them didn't, you know, and there was this one team where I think they were all pretty much gay, and I felt very drawn to this team. Now, one of my friends who was my catcher in high school was also my catcher in this league, and she started hanging out with some of these women on this other team, right? And I'm going, what is going on? So she started being super secretive, and instead of going out with my friends or our friends, she started hanging out with them. So one time I said to her, hey, what are you doing tonight? Let's all go out. And she's like, no, I'm going to do something else. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And she didn't want to tell me. So I begged her to tell me. And finally, she said that she was gay. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so exciting. And I think I am too. And she looked at me. She goes, no way, you're not gay. And I'm like, yeah, I think I am. It's pretty funny. And she said that there was this bar called The Lobby that she was going to. And I said, please take me. I want to go. And she finally agreed. So that Friday night, we were going to go to The Lobby. And it was a bar in Newark, Delaware, which is a college town, a strip shopping center. On one end, I forget what was there. It might have been a restaurant. There was a liquor store, a Scottish bakery of all things, and then this bar called The Lobby. The Lobby was run by this couple who had two children, a son and a daughter, who were both gay. Now, I just think this is the coolest thing, that a family would open a bar so that their gay kids would have a place to go and socialize. That is the coolest thing. Because they knew that they couldn't be themselves in, you know, your regular straight bars. The moment that I walked into the lobby, it was like a surreal experience. I walked down the hall. The bar was on the right. On the left, there were tables. The dance floor was straight ahead. They had a disco ball. There were lights on the dance floor. The bar was kind of dark. And I was looking at people, looking them in the face. And I realized at that moment that I was with my people. Can you imagine the feeling when you walk into a place and you feel like they're your people, that you belong there for the first time in your life? You feel like you belong. It was pretty powerful. I remember that night, towards the end of the evening, a girl asked me to dance a slow dance. At first, I was a little intimidated, but after a couple beers, I said, okay. And all I remember was dancing with her, feeling her soft skin and just having my arms around her and her arms around me, smell of her hair, touch of her skin. It was so powerful that it excited me beyond. And I knew I was in the right place. I knew that I wasn't wrong. There was nothing wrong with me. I was different, and so were these people. It was crazy. And I'm sure you probably could right now remember the first time you walked into a situation like that and realized that all was good with the world. I was going to this bar and dating and things like that for a while, and then I got transferred to Texas. And I was continuing to play sports, and Texas had a whole gay area. I lived in Dallas. They had these two streets where there are lots of gay bars, and it was very segregated. They had the girls' bars and the guys' bars. And I met my first partner. We were together 17 years. Now, I knew I was gay, and I was out in the gay world, and my gay friends knew that I was gay, but the rest of my world did not know. I hid this from my parents when I was living with my parents and then when I was living on my own. Now, fortunately, when I moved to Texas, it was easy to hide being with someone because they didn't come and see me, but my parents did visit. So when I was living with my partner, my parents would come and we literally did what I call straightening up. Now, it wasn't just cleaning the house, but it was also creating a room for her that looked like that's where she lived. And then I had my room and then there was the guest room. So we had to literally lie and create a false identity for her as my roommate, not as my partner. When I look back on that, how unfair that was to her. She was okay with it. She understood, but it was unfair to her for me to call her my roommate when she was the love of my life. It was unfair to my parents because I didn't include them in my life. And I'd created a false identity. And it was unfair to me because I couldn't be me. We couldn't hold hands. We couldn't hug and kiss each other in front of them. And we had to sleep in separate bedrooms during the time they were there. So all of that was very hurtful from a heart perspective, but also the lying that I had to do. It was like I lived two lives. And secrets, they can make us small. They can make us sick. They can do so much damage that we don't even realize. Why did I keep this secret? Well, I kept this secret because I was afraid my parents would disown me. For some reason, my programming told me that my parents would not accept this, that they would not appreciate it, and that they wouldn't love me anymore. so I kept the secret. One year we went on a vacation. It was one of those Olivia cruises, but it was a land cruise, if you will, in Mexico. And every morning I ran at 5:30 in the morning because it was so friggin' humid there. My partner didn't like getting up early, so I went by myself, but I started running with this other woman. She was from San Francisco, and she was super cool, and we were talking about just whatever, and she asked me if I was out with my family, and I said, oh gosh, no, no, definitely not. My father was a super Republican, and I just thought it would break their hearts. So she said, you know, you're afraid of hurting them, but aren't you hurting them by keeping your true self from them? If you feel that they're going to disown you, haven't you pretty much disowned them? You haven't even given them a chance. So she kind of chided me for all this. And I realized at that moment, she was right. I was doing the very same thing to them that I was afraid they were going to do to me. So in that moment, Eleanor, thank you so much. She gave me the courage and the reason, the why, to come out to my family, to be all of me. And I thank you, Eleanor, for that. That was in September. I lived at this time in California. I was in California now. My parents are still back on the East Coast. My dad, coincidentally, was going to be having hip replacement surgery in October. I thought, well, I should probably be a good daughter and go and be there for his surgery and make sure everything goes good and support my mom and everything. So I decided I was going to fly back east in October for the surgery. During the 4 weeks that ensued, I started to rehearse what I would say, how I would say it. At the same time, I was imagining how receptive or non-receptive they would be. In the receptive case, they would just give me a big hug and say, oh my gosh, baby, we love you. We love you. We're so glad. We're so happy for you. Like that would happen. And then on the other extreme side, it would be, get out of this house. You disgust us. There's something wrong with you. We didn't raise a child like this, right? So I'm struggling with this in the 4 weeks. Like, which one is it going to be? Or is it going to be something in the middle? Hopefully something in the middle, right? During this time, I was trying to decide, do I really want to do this? You know, I could probably forego this. But the stuff going through my mind were things like, you're not good enough. They won't love you. You're not worthy. This is a big mistake. What do you think you're doing? This is crazy. It's a dumb idea, and it's not going to go well. I went back and forth. Should I tell? Should I not tell? But I committed. I committed to myself. I committed to Eleanor. And I'm more than that. I'm committing to the people that I love and who love me. Flew back east. And in the morning, woke up, had breakfast with my mom. And I decided this is when I was going to tell her. We're sitting having breakfast. And I am about ready to tell her. My heart is pounding away. I was so scared. The anxiety was almost overwhelming. And I didn't know how to do this. So I thought, you know, you're just going to blurt it out. Just blurt it out. Get it over with. You're going to feel so much better. So I reach across the table to hold my mom's hands just to get some connection with her. And she goes, oops, I have to get up. I have to go to the restroom. So she gets up, goes to the bathroom. The 5 minutes or so that she's gone, I'm sitting there with myself going through that same struggle. This is a dumb idea. Don't do it. You have to do it. You promised yourself. She comes back, and as she sits down, I immediately grab her hands, look her in the eyes, and I said the most difficult 5 words that I have ever said. I said, Mom, I am a lesbian. Oh my gosh, I did it. I did it. I did it. I said it. My heart was still pounding. I felt at once an incredible sense of relief. I let out the secret that was so heavy for all these years, so heavy, 20 years of heaviness, 20 years of lies. Then I looked across at her and I saw the tears coming out of her eyes. As relieved as I was, the anxiety came back. Oh my gosh, she's not taking this well. My mom looked at me and she started to say, but But I just feel like you won't be safe. I feel like you won't be protected. You won't be supported. You won't have anyone to take care of you. I have two sisters, and they've been married since they were in their 20s. She said, I want you to have a life like your sisters. I want someone who loves you, who protects you, and I want you to be safe. All my mom really cared about was all of that. She didn't say, you're a terrible person. I was expecting that, maybe. Fortunately, she seemed okay with it. But I knew she was going to need some time to be with this. And I would give my mom that time. But I was so relieved in so many ways. And I did reinforce that I felt loved. I felt protected and supported with my partner. And that I was okay. And this is what I wanted. And this is what made me happy. My mom made me promise not to tell my dad while he was in the hospital, because she felt like it would be stressful for his recovery. So begrudgingly, I agreed not to tell until he got out of the hospital. We went to the hospital after my dad's surgery. He came out of surgery really well, and we just had lots of small talk, and it was nice to spend some time with him and my mom. I eventually had to go back home and back to California for work. A week later, the phone rings, and this is the day that I was going to tell my dad, because he was back home out of the hospital. I saw that it was my dad calling. I picked up the phone. My heart started to pound again, just like it did before I told my mom. I said, hi, Dad. How are you feeling? How's it going? How's the surgery and the healing? And he said, everything's great, honey. I'm doing really well. There's not too much pain anymore. And I'm doing my rehab and all that. And I said, oh, that's great. That's great. You'll be walking soon and playing golf. And I started, you know, doing lots of small talk because I didn't want to come to that moment. And then my dad said, right as I was getting ready to tell him, he said, honey, your mom and your sisters told me, and I just want to say that I love you so much, and there is nothing you could do that would ever keep our love from you. I am so proud of you. You are an amazing woman, and we love you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Oh my gosh. I was shocked. My father, the Republican, accepting me, loving me. This was not what I expected. I expected a completely different scenario from my dad. I really didn't think he would take this well. That was wrong of me. I shortchanged my dad. And I felt so proud of him and so happy and excited for myself. What my dad did in that moment was he gave me permission to be out in the world. That he wasn't going to be ashamed if someone came up to him and said, oh, I heard your daughter's a lesbian. I heard your daughter's a dyke. My dad was going to be proud, and he was going to say, yeah, isn't she amazing? My dad gave me this incredible sense of power and the ability to be me. And I was going to go out there and use it. I became a role model for being out, a poster child, if you will. And I worked in the pharmaceutical industry, and I used to fly a lot to different places for work. And I'd be on a plane sitting next to someone. We'd have casual conversation. And somehow I would find a way to drop something that let them know that I was a lesbian. I would say my partner, she, or my wife, or whatever I would say, then all of a sudden they would know, and I would kind of gauge their reaction. And it was reactions from kind of shock to, oh, I don't know what to say next, to, oh, wow, that's cool. I've never met a lesbian before, or something like that. Anyway, it was so much fun. And what I think I did is I showed people that I'm just like them, that I breathe the same way, I love the same way, I put on my clothes the same way, that I'm not some alien, some sick person out there. For years, I did this. And fortunately, I worked in an area in pharmaceuticals in HIV. So I was with my people, with my gay community. So it was really easy for me to be out at work. But prior to that, I was very closeted at work. Now, I didn't have an office. I worked remotely. I traveled a lot. So I had like a regional position. So I didn't have like a desk with pictures of my family where I'd have to say, oh, this is my husband, these are my kids, kind of thing. But there were times when I would be in a meeting and someone would say, what are you doing this weekend? And I would just make shit up, you know, because I didn't want to have to deal with it. I didn't want to have to come out all the time to everybody. But at some point in my life, I did. And I was happy to do it because, like I said, I wanted to be a role model. And my dad gave me the permission to do that. So, Daddy, thank you. I love you for that. Well, crazy thing happened. There's a little twist in the story. Years later, at my dad's funeral, after my dad's funeral, my sisters and I were sitting around having dinner. And we were talking about my dad and what a cool dude he was in many ways. He could also be kind of difficult and challenging. And I said, you know what is so cool about Daddy is that he accepted me 100% for being gay. I saw this look of surprise on my sister's faces, and I'm like, what? And they said, oh, not at first. Oh my gosh. He cried like a baby. He was so upset. He was so worried about you. He wasn't ashamed or anything, but he was worried and concerned, and he had a hard time dealing with it. It took him a couple days to kind of come to grips with it. Well, at first, I was really pissed off. Like, I can't believe that my dad lied to me. But then I realized that what my dad did was freaking amazing. My dad came to grips with his feelings. It's okay for people to have a hard time at first, but he decided what was most important was to show complete acceptance, approval, and love to me. So he waited a week before we spoke. And in that moment, what I heard on the phone was not weeping or being unsure, but complete confidence that he loves and accepts me. And that's what changed my world. Now, sometimes when you tell someone to their face, like I did with my mom, it was going to take a while. Both my parents were really accepting of my partner at the time. They accepted her in every way, included her, and it was great. Like, it was so important because prior to that, they couldn't include her because they thought she was just a roommate, just a friend. And that was so unfair to her to put her in the position of a roommate where we couldn't show affection. It was unfair to her. It was unfair to me, and it was unfair to them that I couldn't include them in my happiness. Remember what Eleanor said is that I was doing to them what I feared them doing most to me. A couple things came out of this. First of all, when you have a secret, it's important to tell. If it's something about who you are, because it's festering in there. It's making you less. It's making you do things like lie and create another identity for yourself. So you can't be authentically you. You can't be all that you are. But you're also keeping people from your life. And do you want to do that? Or do you want to include them? Again, it's about inclusion. Now, I feel like this world is so diverse, but what we do with our children and with everyone in society is we try to keep them in the lines. We try to create this conformity. Of course, there have to be rules, but sometimes the conformity restricts expression and authenticity. And so we suppress things in ourselves in order to be accepted, to feel included or part of the community. We're afraid of losing their love and their acceptance if we don't fit in. If you look at this world, though, and the diversity of the world, the species, the sounds, the sights, every single sunset is different. The diversity of this land, of the food, it's so full and it creates an experience that is beyond. If everything was kind of the same, that'd be pretty dull and boring after a while. That diversity creates richness and texture. And the tapestry that's created is so much more beautiful than if it was limited. The one thing that I learned from this is that my ability to be me in everything is about giving my full self to the world. It is a gift I give to the world, but it's also a gift I give to me because I can fully express myself in every way, not just with my sexual orientation. So in hiding that, I was hiding a really important part of myself. And like I said, I became kind of a role model for coming out. And that's why October 11th is so important to me. Now, I told you that my dad had a surgery in October. The day that I told my dad, my mom, was October 11th. And I think that Eleanor mentioned that to me, that if I could see my parents on October 11th, that it would be a great day to tell them. So October 11th means so much to me. It was my real coming out day to the people that I cared about. And since then, every day for me is coming out in every way that I can. I have two amazing daughters, and I want them to know that they can be themselves in their fullest. They don't have to hide anything. They can be themselves, and that I will love and accept them unconditionally. The world needs people to be their gifts. There is no one like you. And if you shut down parts of yourself, then you're shutting down what the world needs. The best thing you can do is to be you, all of you, each and every day. It was great spending today with you, and I hope you had a wonderful coming out day.